Good morning. Welcome to Concordia. Please take a moment to sign the red attendance pad on the inside pew. A couple of announcements to highlight today. If some have asked how Concordia can become a Reconciling Ministries congregation, and Pastor Doris will meet with those that are interested in exploring this after worship today in Memorial Lounge. If you would still like to purchase a Easter flower, there are forms in the back in the narthex, and we'll take them until Monday if you would still like to do so. The midweek Lenten service is at the First United Church of Christ this week at 6:30 p.m., and SOFAs will meet on Wednesday at the church, and the topic for this month will be Old Health Medicine, What Did You Use Growing Up? Coffee and rolls are provided, and SOFA is open to anyone 60 years and young and older. Come and bring a guest for fellowship and fun. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, please stand as you are able and join in singing our opening song, There's Something About That Name, number 171 in the red hymnal. Please join me in our praise. To those who eagerly came to worship God,
you are welcome here.
To those who grumbled about coming,
you are welcome here.
To those who are not sure why they are here,
you are welcome here.
In the name of the one who loves and forgives us, you are welcome in this place. Please join in singing, This is the Day of New Beginnings, verses 1 through 4. Please join me in prayer. Creating God, you have called us to this place. You breathe life into us each day. You welcome us just as we are, with all of our hopes and fears, all of our faults and talents. You are the seeker of the lost. Draw your children into your loving embrace. Restore us to our inheritance as daughters and sons, and reconcile our hearts to you, that we may become ambassadors of your reconciling love to all the world. Through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Hello. Okay.
So, you've been around the church for a while, huh? You've heard the Bible stories. You've heard about the stories that Jesus tells. Okay? So I'm going to see if you can figure out this one. There was, what this one's called. Have you read the scripture already for today? All right, I'm safe. Okay, this is about someone who gets a lot of money and he goes off and lives the way he wants to live. And it's not always real good living. I mean, he does things that he's not supposed to. And he ends up feeding pigs. Is this not familiar yet? Okay. Well, then he decides that his dad and his brother back at home are still there, and he figures he'd go home and they would treat him better than he gets treated out in the world. Do you know what it is yet? So he decides to come home, and while he's coming home, his father sees him. And his father says, "You go away. I never want to see you again." Does that sound like a father? No, you're right. That's not what the father said. The father saw him way off at a distance, and the father ran out to greet him. And the father welcomed him home and had a party for him. Do you know what story this is? It's called the story of the giving father. Another word for that is prodigal. Okay? And sometimes we think of we call it the prodigal son, but it's about the father. Okay? And it's a father who always loves his children. It's a father who, it doesn't matter what his children have done, he'll always welcome them home. Okay? Does that sound like any fathers you know? Do you think that your dad would always welcome you home? Oh, you think so? Okay. he's not sure about that. Okay. Well, okay. So let's look at this man right over here, and that man right back there, and there's one back there who's kind of smiling, and there's a man there, and there's one right behind him. Do you think that they would kick their children out and not welcome them home again? You think? Raise your hand if you would kick your children out, men. Okay? Raise your hand if you would always welcome your children home, men. Okay. Well, since this was about a father, that's why we asked the dads. But moms, would you always welcome your home children home too? Raise your hand. Isn't that amazing? And that's what one of the scriptures is about this morning. It's about how much God loves us. And when our parents love us that way, welcome us home, there's nothing you can do that they're going to kick you out before you're 18 anyway. So, but they're always going to welcome you home. And when our parents treat us that way, That's how we learn what God's love is like. Is that good news? I think so. I think that's something to celebrate, don't you? Let's say hallelujah. Let's do it with more energy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you can do it. These girls ever get louder than that? Okay. Let's hear it like you, if you were at home and something really good happened, you say, yeah, like you're yelling at him. Hallelujah. You don't want us to know how loud your voices get when you're yelling at him, huh? Okay. All right. Let's have a prayer, shall we? We thank you, God, for your great love. It is so amazing. And we thank you, God, that you give us parents who love us the way you do. Amen. Thank you.
Joshua 5, 9 through 12. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." So the place was called Gilgal, as it is today. The Israelites camped in Gilgal. They celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the plains of Jericho. On the very next day after Passover, they ate food produced in the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped on the next day when they ate food produced in the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. So that year they ate the crops of the land of Canaan.
So then from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards. Even though we used to know Christ by human standards, that isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, the new things have arrived. All of these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with his message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know him, no sin, to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God.
The gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11b through 32. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathered around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. A certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance." Then the father divided his estate between them. Soon afterward, the younger son gathered everything together and took a trip to the land far away. There he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. When he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food, but I am starving to death? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.' So he got up and he went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. His father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. Then his son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Fetch the fattened calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. Coming in from the field, he approached the house and heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. The servant replied, "Your brother has arrived, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he received his son back safe and sound." Then the older son was furious and didn't want to enter in, but his father came out and begged him. He answered his father, "Look, I've served you all these years, and I never disobeyed your instruction. Yet you've never given me as much as a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours returned after gobbling up your estate on prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him." Then his father said, "Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found."
It was just past midnight on January 1st, 1972. Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan are in a bar in New York City. They're discussing Forrest's plan to buy a shrimpin' boat. Two women join them. The women's names are Cunning Carla and Long Limbs Lenore. Lenore looks at the television and exclaims, Hey, we was just there at Times Square. And Lenore then leans in and speaks directly into Forrest's ear. "Don't you just love New Year's? You get to start over. Everybody gets a second chance." I can relate to Lenore because I've often been given a second chance. I can relate to Lenore because I've been given an opportunity for a do-over. And knowing who Christ is, a do-over, a new chance, is what it's like to be made new. Maybe you will have done something in your lifetime that you would have appreciated another chance. During this season of Lent, we're talking about what it means to love God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all of our strength. We're on this journey of the heart. And as we walk these days toward resurrection, we embrace the transformation, the new possibilities, the new life that this journey is all about. But we've got some work to do yet before we can go into the garden and find the empty tomb. Right now, Easter is still on a distance from us. It's on the horizon. And we might want to quicken our pace and get there. But Paul reminds us that we need to take our time. We need to walk slowly. We need to pay attention to who God is. Before we can get to the new creation of Easter, we have some repair work to do. And that repair work, some needs to take place within our hearts, and some within our world, some within our church. So far on our journey, we have traveled through fruitful fields, barren wilderness, countless stars. We've received God's promises, both large and small, and we've sat at the table where all are fed. Like threads that sew a patchwork quilt together, this week we begin binding together our journey with repentance and reconciliation and repair. Rick Brand is a United Methodist pastor, and he writes of his father. He was born in the Deep South and formed in the days of Jim Crow and stark segregation. He could never see past that particular picture of divided humanity. He fought in World War II and spent his tour directing artillery fire against the Nazis and the fascists. He never got used to the alliances that emerged soon after the war. My father hated the communists too, even more than he hated Germans and Italians and Japanese. He raised his children through the 1960s, when most every value he had lived by, gone to war for, and very nearly died on account of, was questioned, denied, usurped, or burned. And although my sister and I were pretty well behaved, I can still remember him sitting in his chair, railing against the TV, yelling at the news, shaking his head in disgust. Until the end of his life, he regarded many things, not only from a human point of view, but also from a very particular human's point of view. My father never got outside of himself or his experience to seeing things from a different perspective, the perspective of Paul or the perspective of grace. He knew the words of Scripture. He had memorized many words, good words, such as Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In fact, he preached a lot on grace, but it never made him particularly gracious. When my father preached from Paul, very often the limit of his interest seemed similar to Luther's. How can sinful persons stand righteous before a holy God? How can we hope for God to love us? How can we get into heaven? Never, so far as I know, did he ask the parallel question, how can I become more loving? His reading of Scripture dealt with the fear of God's judgment, not God's love for God's children. So today, we hear Paul gathering the Corinthian community of faith together and speaking to them through letter to expand their vision, to invite them to see that everything has become new. That kind of seeing moves beyond what our eyes can plainly see. In our humanity, we are almost always tended to focus on what is broken, what is limiting, what is imperfect, born in ourselves, in our world. It is so difficult to stand in front of a mirror and say, God loves you just as you are. Oh, that part's easy. Why can't you love yourself as much as God loves you? When I stand in front of the mirror, I see all the blemishes. When I stand in front of the mirror, I see what's wrong. Paul, God through Paul today, is inviting us to recognize not only am I a new creature, I am a part of the new creation, but we all are. All of us are part of God's new creation. Jesus never judged people by what we see physically. Jesus was able to see our hearts and call us to account for what's on our hearts. Because he knew how much more each one of us can be. He knew, he knows our potential. Jesus was able to see through barriers and boundaries. I'm supposed to be 4 pages further in my sermon right now. Jesus saw that brokenness. He saw through to that. He saw the hopelessness. And he poured himself out in a way that love conquered all of our brokenness. Love conquered all of our pain. This week we're invited, loving God with all of our heart, to come together. And that means to reconcile what is broken in us and among us. I suspect there are people here who are carrying a burden, a bag over their shoulder of that holds all of the mistakes they've made and that they continue to judge themselves for. And Jesus' life and death and resurrection tell us that we can put that down, that we don't have to carry that. In his writing, Paul was referring to a prophecy from Isaiah where it says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the desert, rivers. I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." And Paul is proclaiming that God has done that. God has done that new thing in Jesus Christ. We are the ones who are resurrected with him. We are the ones walking in a wilderness way, and we have found the living water in the desert. We no longer need to simply perceive and view the world as so many see it. Because we are reconcilers. And God has given us this reconciliation so that we can be one with God, so that there's no hostilities among us, but so that we can go out and proclaim that to long-legged Lenores and cunning Carlos. I know people who do not feel worthy of being here among us. They have lived lives and they understand that the way that they have lived would make them unwelcome here. If those people knew how welcome they are by God, we would have full pews. And what God has called us to do is to be ambassadors of that truth. My daughter called me yesterday and was gossiping about a girl that was part of one of the churches I served. She's the same age as my daughter. She and her boyfriend were stopped and arrested for possession of methamphetamines. I'm sure that this young woman, even though she grew up in the church, I'm sure that she doesn't believe that she's worthy enough to be here among us. Who needs to hear that there's the possibility of new creation more than those who are destroying their lives with alcohol or drugs or food or promiscuity? Those who are so obviously killing themselves, they need to know that they are welcome here. And that's our job. It's our place to take what it is that God has given to us and share that in the world. Paul proclaims, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Anyone. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Now, this is an opportunity these days as a way for us to shed some of our own ways and our way to let time for us to let go of our own sin and our own selfishness, our own greed, our own self-centeredness. It's a time for us to be resurrected into that new life to which we are called. And even though everyone here may say, I am in Christ, we may not live that way. Paul asked us to be reconciled, trusting that ministry of reconciliation to let go of old ways of seeing the world. And our journey during this season can help us to see beyond obstacles, to see beyond stumbling blocks. During this season, we're invited again to open our eyes and see the new creation. That means that we have to let go of our human ways of seeing the world. That means that we have to see the people that we meet as Christ sees them. That young woman who was a classmate of my daughter's, that young woman, if God comes to her in the jail cell, God doesn't see the weight that she's lost because of her addiction. God doesn't see the way her teeth are damaged because of the addiction. God doesn't see all of that stuff that we see. What God sees is her heart. And God would see that her heart is broken, that there's healing needed. And you know something, that's not so different. When God looks at you and you and you, God still sees those broken places within us, and God is inviting us to be healed of those. This ministry of reconciliation is one by which the gaps that we are living with are bridged, and the wounds are healed, and enemies are forgiven, and new friendships are formed. On the cross, all of the dividing walls have been broken down. It's to be our practice that we proclaim to everyone, everywhere, that they are loved, that they are welcomed. As we learn how to love and forgive, as we confess pardon, as we live with one another, reconciled with one another, then we can take this message to the world and sing, Christ, for all the world we sing, for all of those who are broken, for all of those who are hurting, help us not to look past them. Help us to see them and offer what you have given us, offer that to them. Because a new creation is for all. It's that we would all have harmony and justice. And we can't do it to the whole world, but we can take one step at a time. Do you have a neighbor who's kind of crabby all the time? Or do you have a neighbor who is letting their raspberries grow back onto your property rather than keeping them where they belong? I'm guilty. I'm the neighbor that does that. Do you have a relationship that's fraught with difficulty and it needs to be healed? You can take one step. We are invited by God. As we love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, we are invited by God to be reconciled to God. And you know, when we offer ourselves for reconciliation to God, there's no need for us to keep anything back because God can see it. God knows us. And God loves us. And God wants to be one with us. Just as God wants to be one with all of the people whom God has created. So this is a challenge for us. We've got work to do in God's name. Let's be about that work together. Amen. Thankfully, God provides for our bodies, our souls, and our minds. And so in thanksgiving, in praise, we offer our gifts to God, that bodies and souls and minds will be provided for throughout the world. I invite the ushers to come forward. Let us pray together. Holy One, you provide for us in all ways and at all times. We offer these gifts to you, asking your blessing upon them, that they bring comfort and healing to your children around the globe. We offer our lives to you, asking your blessing upon us, that we might be faithful to you and to one another. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've had a request for prayer for the family of Joan Huber. Okay. Prayer for Dwight Paulfus and his family. He's dealing with issues of life and death. And for Mike Scott, he has pneumonia and sepsis. So are there other people or situations that you'd like to lift? Yes. Our VIM volunteers are on their way home. Safe travels. Let us pray. Thank you. Gracious God, you provide for us as you did for the Hebrew people while they were in the wilderness. When they were able to start providing for themselves with your blessing, they did that. When they were able to honor you and your presence with them, and when they were able to come to a place that they call home, they gave you praise and adoration. Gracious God, we give to you our praise and adoration for all of the ways that you are with us day by day. We give you praise that we know that you are present with us and that there's nothing that we have to do on our own. We give you thanks, O God, that you give us eyes that can see your vision for the world. We thank you that you invite us and give us the joy of sharing you, your word, your love, your compassion with others. We thank you for that. Help us to know that you have given to us all that we need so that we can be those who are your new creation. We can be those who would bring peace and hope to others. We can be those who trust in you, who trust those we love into your care. As we pray for those who are ill, those who have passed from this life, we pray that they would know your presence. We trust that our Vimmers have known that you have been with them and blessing them in their work, in their ministry. And we trust that you have used us in this past week in ways that have brought your light and your love, and ask that you do that again this week. Let us be a reflection of your loving, forgiving, reconciling grace. We pray in Jesus' name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you turn to hymn number 272? What? Please stand. What wondrous love. May the endless and unbelievable love of Holy God speak to your heart today. May you experience God through the blessing of relationship restored. May you experience grace that touches your heart, changes your lives. Go in peace to be ambassadors of Christ. Amen.